The Savior's Teachings on Discipleship by Casey W. Olson, Seminaries and Institutes. In Luke's account of Jesus Christ's final journey to Jerusalem, we see the Savior giving us a clear pattern for how to follow Him. Just 4 months before the Savior's death, when the time was come that He should be received up, He steadfastly or resolutely set His face to go to Jerusalem, Luke chapter 9, verse 51. In the preceding weeks, Jesus Christ had carefully prepared His disciples for the difficulties and transcendent spiritual events that lay ahead. For example, immediately after Peter testified of Jesus Christ's divinity at Caesarea Philippi, the Savior spoke to His disciples about His approaching death and resurrection for the first time in plain, unmistakable terms. See Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 21, Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 31, and Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 22. Jesus also brought Peter, James, and John with Him up into an high mountain, where He was transfigured before them. Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 2. There the Savior, Moses, and Elijah bestowed priesthood keys upon Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah also offered comfort and support to Jesus as they spake of His decease, which He should accomplish at Jerusalem. Luke chapter 9, verse 31. Elder James E. Talmage, 1862-1933, of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, referred to this experience on the Mount as the beginning of the end of Jesus Christ's mortal ministry. These events show that when Jesus Christ steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem, He clearly knew He was commencing the journey that would culminate in His death. The book of Luke, which provides the most detail regarding this journey, records that as the Savior went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem, Luke chapter 13, verse 22, a company of disciples, both men and women, traveled with Him. See Luke chapter 11, verse 27. While walking together, Jesus tutored His followers on the demands of discipleship. As we study the Savior's teachings in context of this journey, we can gain a greater appreciation of how He reinforced His instructions on discipleship with the power of His own example. Three responses to Jesus Christ's instruction to follow Me. Shortly before the Savior began His final trek to Jerusalem, He declared, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Later, as Jesus and His disciples traveled toward Jerusalem, a certain man said unto Him, "Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest." Luke chapter 9, verse 57. The Savior responded that the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head, Luke chapter 9, verse 58, perhaps indicating that life was very inconvenient for Him. As Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles once observed, and that it will often be so for those who choose to follow Him. Next the Lord said unto another, "Follow Me," Luke chapter 9, verse 59. But the man requested that he be permitted to first go and bury his father. Jesus replied, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Luke chapter 9, verse 60. The Savior's words do not mean it is wrong to mourn the loss of a loved one. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, verse 45. Rather, they emphasize that devotion to the Lord is a disciple's highest priority. A third individual remarked, "Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at My house." Luke chapter 9, verse 61. Jesus responded with an analogy of a plowman, whose task requires him to focus on what is ahead rather than what lay behind. See Luke chapter 9, verse 62. The lesson for this man was simply to follow the example of the Savior, who steadfastly set His face to go to Jerusalem and did not look back. Luke chapter 9, verse 51. The road through Samaria. As Jesus and His disciples passed through Samaria on their way to Jerusalem, some of the Samaritans did not receive Him. Luke chapter 9, verse 53. likely because they recognized Jesus and his disciples as Jews. In response, James and John sought permission to call down fire from heaven to consume their offenders. See Luke chapter 9, verses 52 through 54. In this volatile setting, the Savior demonstrated patience and forbearance while admonishing his disciples to do the same. See Luke chapter 9, verses 55 through 56. Shortly after this episode, the Savior told the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. In addition to satisfying the questions of a disingenuous lawyer, this parable may have reminded the Savior's disciples that there are no exceptions to the commandment to love thy neighbor as thyself. See Luke chapter 10, verse 27. See also verses 25 through 29. In addition, the Savior's disciples may have recognized similarities between the actions of the Good Samaritan and those of Jesus. The love the Good Samaritan demonstrated for a Jew mirrored the charity Jesus had recently displayed toward hostile Samaritans. Also in the coming weeks, the Savior's disciples would witness Jesus encountering many wounded souls on the road to Jerusalem. See Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, and Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Like the Good Samaritan who paused on a dangerous thief-infested highway and placed the welfare of another ahead of his own, Jesus would minister to each wounded soul he encountered, thinking not of himself, even as he drew closer to his own death. The Savior teaches Mary and Martha. During his journey to Jerusalem, Jesus stopped at the home of Martha. See Luke chapter 10, verse 38. While Martha was cumbered about, much serving, Luke chapter 10, verse 40, her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word, verse 39. Hospitality was very important in Jewish society, and it seems Martha was diligently seeking to fulfill cultural expectations regarding her role as hostess. Although Martha demonstrated marvelous devotion and faith in the Savior in another setting, see John chapter 11, verses 19 through 29, here she complained, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Luke chapter 10, verse 40. To help church members learn an important lesson from this episode, Elder Dallin H. Oaks of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles once cited a Brigham Young University devotional address by Professor Catherine Corman Perry. "The Lord did not go into the kitchen and tell Martha to stop cooking and come listen. Apparently, he was content to let her serve him however she cared to until she judged another person's service. Martha's self-importance occasioned the Lord's rebuke, not her busyness with the meal." Martha's primary mistake on this occasion seems to have been focusing on herself, even as she was serving others. The Savior helped Martha understand that it is not enough to simply serve the Lord and our fellow man. We must learn to lose ourselves in the process of serving and seek the Lord's will to guide our desires and motives as well as our actions. See Luke chapter 9, verse 24, Doctrine and Covenants, section 137, verse 9. Disciples must overcome the tendency to think first of themselves and learn to serve Heavenly Father and His children with an eye single to His glory. Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 67. Later, after her brother's death, Martha showed her focused faith by setting aside temporal concerns and immediately going out to meet the Savior when she heard He was coming. See John chapter 11, verses 19 through 20. The Savior expounds on the demands of discipleship. Later on in the Savior's journey to Jerusalem, a man requested, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Jesus responded by addressing the root of the man's problem. "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Luke chapter 12, verse 15. He then gave the parable of the rich fool. See Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. In the parable, one reason for God's characterization of the rich man as a fool may have been the man's selfishness. In Luke chapter 12, verses 17 through 19, the rich man uses the words I and my 11 times, revealing his concern with self. Not only was the man consumed by selfishness, but he also failed to recognize the source of his riches. In no way did he acknowledge, as the Savior did, that it was the ground that brought forth plentifully, Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Nor did he thank the Lord for creating the earth in which his crops grew. Ultimately, the man was condemned not for the wise practice of storing temporal provisions, but for failing to prepare spiritually for the future. Being not rich toward God, Luke chapter 12, verse 21, the man was eventually deprived not only of the treasure he had temporarily accumulated on earth, but also of a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, Luke chapter 12, verse 33. His choices in life left him impoverished in eternity. In direct contrast to the rich fool who hoarded material possessions before unexpectedly dying, Jesus purposefully marched toward his death, deliberately giving God all that he had and was, including his life and the fullest measure of his will. See Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Mosiah chapter 15, verse 7. He declared, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Luke chapter 12, verse 50. Having already been baptized with water, Jesus here was referring to his atonement. Soon he would descend below all things, and his body would be covered in blood and sweat as he suffered for our sins and experienced our pains and afflictions. Later, when some Pharisees warned Jesus that Herod Antipas would seek to have him killed, the Savior simply affirmed that he would continue to seize each opportunity to teach, bless, and heal others. See Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 33. He would spend the last days of his mortal life, like all his days before, serving others. While drawing closer to Jerusalem, Jesus directed his disciples to count the cost of discipleship, to put forethought into their decision to follow him. See Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 28. He did not seek to sugarcoat the difficult realities they would encounter if they continued as his disciples. Rather, he firmly declared, Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 33. However, the Savior also promised that as we lose ourselves on the pathway of discipleship, we will gain so much more in return. See Luke chapter 9, verse 24. The blessings he has promised his disciples include peace in this world and eternal life in the world to come. Doctrine and Covenants, section 59, verse 23. Although we do not have the opportunity to walk with Jesus Christ to Jerusalem, we can show our willingness to replicate that journey in our own lives. Remembering the Savior's own willingness to sacrifice and serve in accordance with Heavenly Father's will can give us strength to go and do likewise. Luke chapter 10, verse 37. End of the article. The Savior's Teachings on Discipleship by Casey W. Olson, Seminaries and Institutes. Read by David Shaw.